Today is a very special day. It's not every day that we send missionaries out, and especially send missionaries from our own church out to the mission field. And so very exciting, and we want to focus on some things from God's Word that will help us understand David and Diane's life and ministry moving forward from Wednesday when they leave and Thursday when they arrive. Today is one of those days when the message from God's Word is really zeroed in on two people, and the rest of us get to listen in and see if there's anything that the Lord has for us. I want to think about the Gospels this morning, and I want you to allow your minds to piece together things you already know. When Jesus unofficially began his public ministry by being baptized by his cousin John, Jesus was by the Jordan River, and then Jesus was introduced by John to John's disciples. And we love hearing those words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We are told that several of John's disciples left John and followed Jesus. Disciple is an interesting word. And interestingly enough, the explanation of the word, or the description or the definition of the word, is given to us in John, by John, when he said that several of John's disciples left John and began to follow. They began to follow Jesus. And just like that, we are introduced to John the fisherman and a man named Andrew, who is described as Simon Peter's brother. I don't know if you have a sibling who is more well known than you are. I have an older brother, Bob, and I've been called Bob my whole life. People who don't know I have a brother named Bob call me Bob. One year for my birthday when I was a boy, my grandmother sent me a birthday card, "Dear Bob." Fortunately, the check inside was made to Don. But I've been called Bob my whole life. Well, John and Andrew left John the Baptizer and followed Jesus, and we are told that they stayed with Jesus. The question is, where did they stay? Because elsewhere in the Gospels, we're told that Jesus said, "Birds of the air have nests, and foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Interestingly enough, for the next 3 to 3.5 years, Jesus would gather followers, disciples. There were 12, and there were some women. And then there were the 70, and then there were 120, and they followed Jesus. And where did they go? Well, he went from the Jordan where he was baptized, and that's in the east, and he went to Cana of Galilee, which is in the north, and there he performed his first miracle. He went through Galilee and then went south to Jerusalem. He went north to south and east to west, and what did he do? Well, certainly he taught, and he performed a lot of miracles. Lepers, the lame, blind men, a bleeding woman, and a dead little girl. He touched them, he spoke to them, and he healed them. But listen, those weren't just miracles. I'm not trying to diminish the miracles, but they weren't just miracles. They were object lessons for the 12. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, I didn't know we were going to be inside, so I didn't look up the page number. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read a couple verses from John, but in just a moment. As Jesus traveled the promised land, he taught. He preached to thousands. He preached to thousands on the hills, and he fed them too. He taught from Peter's boat and on the steps of Solomon's porch in the temple. He taught reclining at a table inside people's homes, and he taught as he walked down Main Street or around country paths. But for 3.5 years, his primary audience was 12 men. And what did he teach them? Well, one of the first guys who followed Jesus put it like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So we skip from John 1 to Matthew chapter 28, and we're looking at verse 16. And we expect this passage on a day that we're sending out missionaries from our church. Matthew 28, verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples." There's a lot of weight in that number 11. It's not 12. It's not 12 because Judas left. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Notice verse 16, there were 11, and Jesus had directed them to a mountain. Verse 17, they worshiped, but some doubted. Doesn't this sound like us? We worship, but we have doubts. Our kids, our future, the economy, the election coming up in November. We worship, but we have doubts. We wonder, what's going to happen? What will tomorrow bring, let alone a year or a decade? And then look at verse 18. Now this sounds like, we're not told, they saw Jesus. Was he walking up the mountain with them? We're not given any indication he was. Then all of a sudden they saw him. Is this one of those poof moments when he just shows up in the middle of the room? Does Jesus just appear to them? Then he states the obvious for the doubters and the non-doubters. He states the obvious: all authority. How much authority? All authority. And where does Jesus' authority prevail in heaven and on earth? See, when we're doubting, we forget that Jesus' authority prevails on earth. Dear ones, David and Diane, please don't forget all authority in heaven and on earth. And if you look very carefully, everybody look carefully at the end of verse 18, because at the end of 18, there's supposed to be an asterisk that says, even Loja, Ecuador. All authority, even in Loja. Then verse 19, then with that authority, Jesus, because of that authority, Jesus says, go. And Jesus says, in your going, make followers, disciples of all the nations. Now, I've never been to Loja, Ecuador. I've never been to Ecuador. But I understand that Loja, Ecuador is full of Ecuadorians. And make disciples of Ecuadorians. But if you happen to come across an Ethiopian eunuch, you are prepared. Back to verse 19. You probably won't be doing the baptizing, but it will be a joy to watch. And then verse 20, here it is. Teach them. Like Jesus, teach. And remember the old WWJD bracelets? Some of you aren't old enough to remember those. But WWJD, what would Jesus do in Loja? He would teach. And what would Jesus teach them? He would teach Lohanians, Lohanians. I'm not sure. He would teach them Essi. That's what he would do. And I hope you were here last week and you went downstairs and heard David and Diane's presentation. If you weren't here last week, then you don't know what Essi is. But the Lord is teaching you, sending you to Loja to teach, and to teach specifically Essi, but that's not all. You're to teach all things. Jesus isn't going to Loja, and I understand the theological reality. I do believe in omnipresence. But Jesus is sending you to Loja to be his representative. And he says, behold, I am with you always. When there are language issues, and there will be, the Lord is with you. When there are housing and transportation struggles, the Lord is with you. When your children get sick, the Lord is with you. David and Diane, he's with you, not just when you fly out on Wednesday with your 20 suitcases. He will be with you during that long mountain ride. And he will be with you for the next 3 years till you're scheduled to come home. And do you know that great theologian, Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond? Now, this would be the logical place to end a sermon, but since I haven't preached in 9 weeks, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as we would expect, the Apostle Paul feels the need to chime in. And amazingly, he does, and it sounds an awful lot like Jesus. It doesn't appear at all that Paul is quoting what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission, but it is interesting that some of the things that Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 fit right in with what we saw in Matthew chapter 28. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Strengthened by grace. What an amazing truth. That's true for people who are going to Loja, Ecuador, and it's true for those of us who are going to Walled Lake or Wixom or Commerce or West Bloomfield or Novi or Milford or wherever it is that you live and work and play. And we need to bring the interrogatives with us to this passage of Scripture, the who, what, why, where, when, and how. Because then Paul tacks on this verse 7. Think about it. Think about it. And the Lord will make it clear as you think about it. We're strengthened by grace, and as you think about what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you're supposed to do it, the Lord will make it clear to you. Okay. Now we're done. No. We have to turn one more page. Turn a page to chapter 4. As Paul writes Timothy, his young son in the faith, as he gives some last-minute instructions and a conclusion. Look at verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon, Paul says. And there's an explanation why. For Demas. In love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas has abandoned ship, and this is still heartbreaking, especially as we've thought about Judas today. And why is this heartbreaking? I think it's because Demas was one of those 2 Timothy 2 guys. Demas was one of those guys that Paul had poured his life into. Paul's intention was to pour his life into Demas so he could teach others also. But Demas has deserted Paul. But let's go on. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me from ministry. Get Mark. There was a problem between Paul and Mark. Mark had left. But now Paul says, get Mark, for he's useful. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. It's interesting, especially as we think back to 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 1. I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Simon, or Cephas. The guys who came in and out of Corinth. Why? And here, why are people moving around like they do? Well, there wasn't a formal written Bible yet. And I wonder, and this is just speculation on my part, if this guy knew this better than this guy. So he went and taught in Ephesus, then went to Corinth and to Thessalonica and to Colossae. And this guy, because he knew this subject better than this guy, is that why they moved around? I don't know. I remember when I first came to Lakes years ago, I stated my desire to stay here for the rest of my life. And one of the men who was a deacon at the time said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I think pastors ought to move every couple of years. I said, why? He said, because you get to know us too well. You know our shortcomings and our failures. Well, interestingly enough, he's gone, and I'm still here. But look at verses 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. And we pray that the Lord will protect you from people who want to hurt you, people who want to use you. And then look at verse 16. What an incredible doxology. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a doxology. I appreciate those of you who have signed up to get David and Diane's monthly newsletter, to stay informed of how the Lord is using them and what's going on in their family. I especially appreciate those of you who will pray for David and Diane regularly. Maybe not every day, but maybe every day. But we'll pray for them regularly as the Lord brings them to mind, that they will be strengthened by God's grace. They will be protected from people who want to harm them, that God will make smooth their path to give them enough trial to keep them dependent upon the Lord, but to spare them the agony of moving to another culture with another language, that God will make their path smooth. And as we do here at Lakes, we're going to have a time of prayer with David and Diane and Amam. Go spare go spare Diane of her crying baby. We got it. So Diane can come in, and hopefully Athan can come in as well. Okay, Phil, if you want to set some chairs up here, probably need four. Anyway, is Athan going to come back? No, he's going to stay over there. It's up to you. Is he still crying? No, go ahead and get him then. Hey, Ann, you want to see if Amy's out there, please? All right. For all of you, but especially those of you who don't know what we're about to do, we're going to have Dave and Diane, their kids, come and sit here in these chairs in just a minute. And then we as a church are going to gather around them. In the Bible, we see times that we see laying on of hands. We're not ordaining David and Diane at this point in time. We are just identifying with them as not just members of our church, but friends, as our family, and we are wanting to send them to Loja, Ecuador, to do the work of the Lord, and so we're going to gather around them. We typically lay our hands on them, or if you can't reach them, just put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, and then we're going to ask Rod, David's dad, to pray, and Dan McGee, who grew up in youth group with David, if he'll lead in a word of prayer. So David and Diane and your kids, come on up here. Rod and Naomi, you please make your way up here as well. Okay. Now we'll get everyone else to come on up here.
God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to earth to die and pay the penalty for our sin. We thank you for the clear instruction that you've given us through your word. We thank you for revealing your will to us in that way, for giving us access to those instructions. We thank you, God, for David and Diane's willingness to answer that call to go to Ecuador, to leave their family and their friends and their church behind, to answer your call. We pray, God, that you would make their paths straight. We pray that traveling down to Loja, establishing a life down there, God, that your grace in their lives would be evident to them and to the people around them, that this is your will. We pray, God, that when they face difficulties, whenever that is, getting out of the States, getting into Ecuador, getting to Loja, whenever they face trials, God, and we're sure that they will at some point, we pray that their response would be appropriate. We pray that in those moments, their reaction would be unnatural because you are intervening in their life and you are giving them comfort and you are accomplishing your will through those hardships. We pray that in those moments especially that they would persevere through your grace. We pray, God, that that would erase suspicion in people's lives. Why are these people reacting with joy? And I pray that in those moments, God, that you would give them the words to say, to explain how you have saved them and given them grace and called them to this place. I pray, God, that they would find a good church, that they would dive in. I pray, God, that in their ministry that you would bless them. I pray, God, thank you so much for their willingness to use the gifts that you have given them for your glory. That's so evident in their lives. We pray, God, that you would bless their ministry, that they would be a blessing to the people of Ecuador, that the pastors that they work with, the families, their neighbors, God, that you would again intervene, God, and that your grace would go forth. We pray that they would be bold evangelists, that they would see and take every opportunity to share the good news of your gospel, what your son has accomplished with the people around them. We pray, God, that the team that they are with would be unified. We pray that they would not be characterized by selfishness, but that a selflessness consistent with the character of your son, Jesus, would go throughout the entire group. We pray, God, that they would seek to encourage one another regularly. We pray, God, for us, that we would be faithful in praying for them, that we'd be faithful in encouraging them, maintaining contact with them and communicating with them, to encourage them, to let them know that we are supporting them. I pray, God, that they would find time to rest, that they would find time to grow as a family together. We pray that David and Diane would have wisdom as they seek to raise their children in a way that honors you. We pray that their children would understand why they're going, why they're leaving family. We pray that they would have patience and trust when they don't understand. We pray when they go to a place where they don't know the language, that they would still be able to make friends, that they would learn the language quickly. We pray, God, that they, that their kids would grow up thankful for the opportunity they have to be led by parents who love you and want to serve you, that they would come to know you as their Savior, and that they would also seek to share the good news of your gospel with their friends as they grow up in Ecuador. We pray, God, that when they feel alone, like Paul did, that you would be their comfort. We pray, God, for their family. We pray, God, that they would have the opportunity to visit them, to communicate with them regularly, that the internet would work so that they're able to maintain a good relationship with their family. We thank you, God, for the opportunity Dave and Diane have had to spend time here the last few years, even though that wasn't the plan, that was your plan. We hope and pray, God, that it was profitable for them. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Lord, we know that you spoke and created all things, that your word is powerful and available, and we ask that you'd help David as he works with the pastors and lay people, that he can help them to know your word better, to be able to communicate it clearly to the Ecuadorians and to others that they come into contact with. Help them with communication, both in their language, in learning the language of Spanish and effectively communicating with the natives there, and them with David and Diane. Help them with their communication within the family, between each other and with the kids. Help James and Lydia as they need to communicate feelings and just all that's going on as they transition to a new culture, a new country. We ask that you'd be with them and help them that they could encourage the Ecuadorians to call upon the name of the Lord and to be saved, and that they would grow in their knowledge of you, and in that we would all be able to communicate back and forth and to share your ministry and your love with the people here, with the people there. We thank you for this gift that you've given us of communication, Lord, and we understand how we fell at the Tower of Babel and went in all different directions and went away from being able to communicate clearly with each other because of our sinful nature. Help us as we try to become your servants, Lord, and be with David and Diane, James, Lydia, and Athan as they go to Ecuador, as they learn the language, yes, even and thank you for them. We ask that you'd be with Mom and Dad as we're far away, and it will be hard for us. We thank you for the church family and their support, and Lord, we pray that you will continue to have this church as support and encouraging them. And we think of our other missionaries, Lord, that it's not just David and Diane, but we have others in Costa Rica and Ukraine and in the Soviet Union or Russia that are ministering your word. And there's others throughout the world, Lord. And we just thank you for all of those that are willing to share in your work. Bless David and Diane, James, Lydia, and Athan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have one of the ropes that we typically give out to our missionaries to remind them that we are praying for them here at home while they go to do the work of the Lord in Ecuador. So you probably have one of these from before. So you and Diane get to arm wrestle over who gets this one. James does. And then the love offering for the travel expenses was $1,600. Praise the Lord for that.